I enjoy the Christmas season, and I like the songs. Jeff, good job today. I like the Christmas songs and Christmas carols. So today I want to start with a little game. It's called Name That Christmas Song. Are you in? All right. Come on now, help me out. A little Christmas spirit here. I'll read a phrase from a holiday song. I actually wanted to sing the lyrics, and Jeff said that wasn't a good idea. So I'm gonna read the song title, and you're gonna give me the name of that song. All right, ready? Some of you are so competitive. Some of you, man, you moved up on the edge of your seat. You're ready, and others are you're kind of like Grinchish. I can see it, but little holiday spirit, little Christmas spirit. All right, here we go. We're snuggled up together like two birds of a feather would be. Name of that? Sleigh ride. Absolutely right. There are no prizes for this, but you're right. You can just brag. You can brag until next Christmas. I won that thing. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm, but if you'll really hold me tight, let it snow. Right. You guys are good. Okay. Decorations of red on green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. Blue Christmas. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. I'll be home for Christmas. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Yeah, rocking around the Christmas tree. All right. In the meadow, we can build a snowman, pretend that he's Parson Brown. Winter Wonderland, yeah. Frosty's the main character, but it's Winter Wonderland's the name of it. Okay, for those of you that couldn't get any of those, here's one for you. All I want for Christmas is you. Now, here's a hint. The song title is the same as the lyrics. Exactly, right. You're good. All right. Good job. Thanks for playing along. Did you notice a theme here? It's interesting, Valentine's Day may get the glory for the holiday of love, but it's pretty clear that Christmas holds a corner on the market. When you look at the songs that are written, they're all about love, most of them, anyway. In fact, in the American Wedding Study conducted by Brides Magazine, researchers found that December is the most popular month to get engaged. And can you guess what day is the most popular to pop the question? Data released by Facebook last year showed that Christmas Eve is the most popular day to get engaged, followed by Christmas Day, New Year's Day, and then Valentine's Day. So sorry, Cupid, more people get engaged on Christmas Eve than on Valentine's Day. And there's certainly nothing wrong with celebrating love during this season. It's the season of love. But depending on where you find yourself in regard to your romantic relationships at this moment, all this love in the air can bring either happiness and expectation or loneliness and isolation. Either way, too much focus on cuddling in the cold and meeting under the mistletoe can blind us to the real love story of Christmas. Again, nothing wrong with the rest. But we want to zero in on the true love story of Christmas today. So don't miss the true story this season. This is a love story that's been written for all of us. A story of true and faithful, unending, unconditional, sacrificial, and many more descriptive words throughout the Bible that describes God's superior love for you and for me. God's love in sending Jesus is one of the stories that changes everything. Love has been God's story from the very beginning. From the moment of creation, God's love was part of the fabric of our world. God's love was with Adam and Eve when they were in the Garden of Eden, both before their sin and after their sin. God showed his love by saving Noah and his family from the flood and giving them a new start. In the Old Testament, God literally gave commandments and a law in love as a way for people of that period of time to atone for their sin and stay connected with him. That's a true love. All throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament alike, we see examples of a love that is almost indescribable. His love turned the world upside down, inside out, when God sent his Son to live among us. That's what Christmas is all about. The God of the universe, born in a stable, die on a cross, rise again from the grave. It took love to disrupt and overturn the power of death and evil that existed in the world. The story is not about a feeling, though. People talk about falling in and out of love. Love, certainly, and it is somewhat cliche, but it's true, is more than a feeling. It's God's story of love in action. How the God of the universe loved you enough to give up everything, leave everything in order to be with you, sacrifice his life so you could be with him. This love is the first gift of Christmas that will unwrap this Advent season. Now, the term Advent may be foreign to some of you. Some churches and denominations will celebrate Advent in pretty extravagant ways. But Advent is something that really all of us should make a part of our Christmas season. The word Advent means simply coming or arrival. It's a season prior to what we call Christmas that is a season of expectation and anticipation. It kind of links the past. The people were looking for a Messiah and anticipated his coming. And then it celebrates the birth. And then it calls us to be alert for his second coming. And so one of these days we look forward, we now anticipate one of these days when the coming of Christ's kingdom is experienced, when he returns for his people. We're gathered together to be in a family where there's no more of the suffering and imperfectness of this world. The imperfection is seen in every part of our life. But one of these days, that's going to be changed. And so we anticipate this. Not only his coming of birth, along with those prior to, but also his second coming. Now, unfortunately, this is a season marked by frenzied busyness. Anybody busy this season? And you know, that's okay. That's a part of the time in which we live. But Advent is an opportunity to set aside time to prepare our hearts and help us place our focus on what it means that God sent his Son to the world. It's a time for preparation, to align ourselves with God's presence more than just the hectic purchase of presents. So as we unwrap a gift of Christmas today and then the next couple of weeks, my hope is that we discover together that we can trust Emmanuel, the one that we sang about, which means God with us. He's bigger than our greatest expectations. And he's bigger than our deepest pains. So as we do discover and realize the gifts he brings, I want us to more than that, I want us to discover him. So we need to unwrap these gifts, three gifts of Christmas, and remember the true meaning of Christmas as we celebrate the arrival of Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. And again, the point is not to get rid of tradition and all the celebrations. I enjoy those too. But it's to take a purposeful journey through them to more deeply experience the gifts of love today that we'll talk about, joy, and then the gift of hope. So today, let's unwrap the gift of love. Consider how wide, long, and high, and deep his love is for us. That's what the scripture says. It's fun watching kids on Christmas unwrap gifts. The excitement ripping off the paper. When they're younger, sometimes the most exciting thing is the paper. You realize you could have saved a whole lot of money just wrapping up an empty box because they like the paper. And then they grow older, and it's what's inside that gift. And I want to tell you, one of the most dangerous threats to Christmas is opening something and the kids then find that you forgot the batteries. Or it took some adult supervision in setting it up. Do you remember the anticipation after the disappointment, after the excitement? I mean, it's like, okay, let's hurry up. I can't play with this. I can't use this. Well, kids kind of like to dive in, and that's what I want to do. We just want to kind of like dive in today. There's so much we could talk about on this subject of God's love for us. I mean, we could talk until he comes back about his love and never adequately understand it. So we got to just dive in and share some thoughts that I hope will be a foundation for your thoughts on this subject, this gift of love for this holiday season. What do we do with this gift of love? We've been given it. So what do we do with it? Well, first of all, it's almost a no-brainer. But we accept his love. We have to accept the gift to receive it, to hold it, for it to be ours, to possess it. I'm going to guess that if I just say the reference, and it's already been referenced, John 3:16, many of us in the room, we hear that familiar verse and it runs through our heads almost automatically. But just in case, it goes like this: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The problem is sometimes we're so familiar with that verse that we can recite it and look right past it. How about you? You ever experienced that? The depth of that verse? But God's love in sending Jesus is one love that changes everything. We know the verse so well that we can overlook it if we're not careful, but this was and is the ultimate gift, the ultimate act of sacrificial, holy, complete, and I like this descriptive word, infinite love. It doesn't end. It lasts throughout eternity. The message of this verse is the core of what we believe. God loved the world. God gave his son. When we accept that gift and believe in him, we're given his life. And the Bible describes that as salvation. What is salvation? What do we need saving from? From sin and the effects of that sin. Sin is described as death. Eternal death. But Jesus Christ was born to die, to pay the price for our sin and give us life, eternal life, to be a part of his family forever. That's love. He cares for us that much. He gives us salvation and eternal life. So the first thing we do with the gift of God's love, it's pretty basic. I mentioned it's a no-brainer, but it's easy to overlook. You ever overlook the obvious? And so we see that it says we have to accept this gift. Notice I said basic and not easy. Sometimes we equate basic with easy. Three basic steps, three easy steps. It's basic, but it's not easy. And the reason I know that is because I know people that have struggled for years in accepting the gift of God's love and receiving him as their Savior. For some, they don't understand it, so they turn away from it. For some, they ignore it. For some, they don't feel like they deserve it. For others, they have wrestled with it. For others, they have just put it off. So it can be basic, but it may not be easy. Maybe you're sitting in this room today listening to these words and you're saying, you know, it is difficult. Maybe it's a brand new idea for you. And you may not understand all that there is to this thing of accepting a gift of God's love for spending eternity where? That's okay. God spells it out to us in His Word. Maybe you feel unlovable. Maybe you've been disappointed by human love too many times to trust that there's something greater, but there is. Maybe you think you don't know what I've done, or you don't know the dark secrets and doubts and fears and pain inside. And maybe I don't, but God does. And the love that He offers understanding where you are. He loves you in spite of those things. Doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, who you are. The love that God offers is Jesus Christ. No matter what challenges or hurt you hold, God's love can handle them and heal them. There's no situation or circumstance that God is not powerful enough and loving enough to take care of in your life. He can do that. You're important to Him. You're valuable. So wherever you are in your journey, it's okay. God knows, He understands, and His response is His open arms of perfect love. So I encourage you to accept the gift of God's love He offers in His Son. So we accept His love. Number two, we experience His love. Experience the love of God deeply. It's easy to be distracted by all the things that need to get done in the next couple of weeks. It's easy to read the headlines and wonder if love can really exist in a world filled with hatred. It's easy to allow worry over tomorrow, or worry over next week, or worry over next year to overwhelm us and keep us from feeling loved. And God doesn't ask you to ignore those things. I mean, it's reality, the world that we live in. It's reality, the things that we face, the things that we go through. You don't have to ignore them to experience His love. You don't have to get rid of yourself. You don't have to fix the hurry or the worry. He invites you to bring them to Him. Because I don't know about you, but I've tried to fix the hurry and the worry in my life by myself, and it doesn't work sometimes. And so I want to encourage you to bring your experiences, your circumstances to Him. Surrender the deepest concerns of your life. Allow Him to fill you and renew you with His love. And the good news is that the love He gives through His Son, Jesus Christ, is enough. It really is. The Apostle Paul described that love we can experience. He said this. It's found in Romans chapter 8, verses 38 through 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? I think that description covers anything you or myself that we might be going through. It's not too big. It's not too deep. It's not too dark. It's not too much of a problem for God. Nothing separates us from His love. That's a powerful love. It's the most powerful love. It's a love that can't be contained or constrained by anything. Not evil, not death, no person, no power. But it's love to be experienced, not just read about. You know, if we want to get back to the example of the kid on Christmas Day ripping into the gifts and being all excited, this is not a gift to accept and unwrap and then put it on a shelf. It's more like a new favorite stuffed animal to embrace and carry and hold till you love the ears off of it, you know? Or it's like getting a complete wardrobe of clothes and letting it engulf you. I remember watching the kids Christmas growing up. The two guys in our house were very different. One of them, if they got clothes for Christmas, they'd open that, and before they even saw what it was, they'd take that clothes and, I mean, when they're little, throw it back behind their back, looking for something else. We got to where we'd put candy in a pocket, you know, and so they'd at least look at it for a while. Then I had another one, and he would look at that if it was a jersey or a uniform, you know, something like that kind of things. He would put it on immediately, and then he'd open up the gift, and it was more clothes, and he would put those clothes on over the clothes he had just put on. And over, it looked like the Michelin Man at the end of the evening when we were doing some of that on Christmas Eve. And it was funny. That's just what he did when he was a little bitty kid. And, you know, that's kind of, and I know these are feeble attempts to express what I'm talking about, but don't just discard and say, yeah, God loves me. We need to experience his love. Let him clothe you in layers of love that he can only he can give. So we experience, we accept his love, then we experience his love. We embrace it with our hearts, our hands, our minds, and our lives. And then thirdly, we're called to share his love. Have you ever been in love? If you're married, don't say no. Not right now. Not out loud. So, did I say that out loud? If you're in love, there's a good chance you've done something loud or crazy to express your love. Maybe you shouted it out loud in public just to show that you were in love. Or maybe you at least shared it on Facebook. Did anyone propose to your wife, like at a ball game on that jumbo screen or something? Anybody ever do anything like that? Many of you have done things like that. Many of you, I know the stories of your proposal and the ring and all this kind of stuff. And you went to great lengths to express and share with others your love. Well, you know, that's just what we do. It's why we have centuries worth of poetry and novels and plays and songs about love, even Christmas songs about love and love. And love. When you're in love, it shows. That's the human thing. But the gift of God's love is the same way. It's for sharing. And in fact, sharing this gift doesn't leave you with less. It leaves you with more. Unlike many other things, you share that Christmas candy that somebody gave you. We don't. We don't do that. We put it up. Those of you that will be in our small groups tonight, don't look for the Christmas candy. You're not going to find it. Not at our house. Because the more you share, the less you have. But I want to tell you this. God's love, the more you share, the more you have. You find that out because it was given to do that with, to share. And so we share his love, especially this season. It can't help but overflow us, overflow from us to others if we have experienced his love. The Apostle John addressed this process in 1 John 4:9-11, it says this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God's love comes to us and flows through us, and the more we embrace and experience it, the more we share it with others. So what does God's love being shared look like this season? Well, it could mean a number of things. It could look differently for different people. It could mean spending quality time with family. It could mean reconnecting with a friend who maybe has drifted away. It can mean serving neighbors or strangers or seeking someone that you suspect might be lonely or have some needs or maybe hurting this season. It might be forgiving someone who has hurt you. Or it might be apologizing to someone you have hurt. It may be sharing the gospel of love with someone who needs a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you're not limited to showing it in one way. There are endless ways to allow God's love to flow through each one of us as you love others as He has loved you. That's what the Bible says, to love as He loved us. So think of how you can share God's love this week. Think of specific ways and even specific people. And then be open to God as He directs you and the Holy Spirit as He prompts you, even beyond your thoughts. But what I'm saying is be intentional. And the more you experience God's love, His true love for you, the less intentional you have to be. It just comes supernaturally. It fills you up and overflows. But be intentional and watch what happens. Look for divine appointments that God has set in your path. Appointments maybe you didn't make, but He did. And be faithful to share His love. Let's keep our focus on making this a season of love that reaches far deeper than some of the songs and even the romantic statistics that we shared. Let's live in God's love and be known by others by His love, the love that flows that we don't keep, but we share that flows through us. Let this be a season of accepting, experiencing, and sharing God's gift of love in a new and a deeper way. Loving God, loving people, serving both. And let it begin with this season, not end when this season is over. Do you like to stretch Christmas out? We do. We think it's pretty cool, man, the 12 days of Christmas stuff. Well, I want to tell you, go beyond even that. Experience the love of this season. Because it's not the season that brings the love. It's the cliche again, reason for the season, but it's true. And let this time of year be the beginning of what we share throughout our life as we experience, accept, experience, and share that love of God. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." How do you know something? Was that a typo in the scripture? Know the love that surpasses knowledge. You experience it. It surpasses just the cognitive to know about love, and you experience the love. And so you know and understand and live and share that love that goes far beyond just talking about it. How about it? I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would, please. I'm going to pray a brief prayer, and then we're going to close with a song. And when we sing that song, as is a tradition here at Trinity, we always like to give you an opportunity, if you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you to come to the front and pray if you'd like. You can pray right where you are. You certainly don't have to take a walk down that aisle. But you know, sometimes you just feel like God's prompting me to do that. If you'd like to come and pray, you can kneel here at the front or sit on the front row. We have side rooms behind these screens in the back where you can go for privacy. Or if you had a question about Christianity, about the church, about Christmas as we've been talking about it, if you need to find that love that we've talked about today, there will be some encouragers down here that would be glad to share with you what the Bible says, not put pressure on you. They'll in confidence pray with you about maybe what's going on in your life. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. Maybe you just need to pray by yourself. But if you have a need, I just want to let you know it's open here. As we close out some of the worries of the world that we face inevitably and focus on Him today.